Now, we're very glad tonight that our brother Sammy Kelly is going to give us word of testimony tonight and tell us how he became a Christian. I'm not sure how many years ago it was. He said it was when he was about 21, and I'm not going to try and say when that was or how many years ago that was. But we're very glad that our brother has given us permission to use the hall, and he's a prayer union representative here with the Faith Mission at Meet on a Monday night. So I'm just going to ask our brother to come and to tell us how he became a Christian. Sammy, thank you so much for your fellowship in the gospel over the last couple of weeks. May God bless you as you testify tonight. Thank you.
Hello, friends. I just want to read just one verse of a hymn, and then I'll share my testimony with you. And it's 388 in the book. And the first verse of this hymn says, "Not have I gotten, but what I received. Grace hath bestowed it since I have believed, boasting excluded, pride I abase, I'm only a sinner, saved by grace." I had the privilege of being brought up in a Christian home, and I normally always start my testimony. There's a verse of scripture in 2 Timothy 3 and 15 that says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation." And this is the important bit. Through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. There's no other way, friends, to get into God's heaven except through faith by Jesus Christ. Well, I suppose since a child, I've known all the scriptures, most of them, all the key verses. There was never a time in my life that I didn't know it. And yet, in all of that, and having the privilege of being brought up like that, I was just the same as everybody else. The Bible says, "For all have sinned." Romans 3 and 23. That included me. In Psalm 51, it says, "Behold, I was born in sin, and shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." So I was just a sinner. Maybe you're in this meeting tonight and you maybe never considered yourself, maybe, as being a sinner. I would have said I was a good person, wouldn't have done anyone any harm, but yet I was a sinner. And God's word tells us much about being saved. And that's the reason these meetings, of course, are convened. But I lived my life just like anybody else. I left school. Well, first of all, when I was at school, when it was a secondary school, from I was 11 years of age, I used to help the milkman in the milk round at 4:30 in the morning. And I used to go then to about 8 o'clock and got the bus at 8:30. Now, about three times a year, I missed the bus deliberately. In Glassy's shop, we used to get in for the sweets, but three times a year, I would have missed the bus. I would have skipped school. And it was great until my mother found out. And wasn't so good after that, but I used to do that. And another thing I can remember that happened when we were boys, my brother and me, my mother used to have two money boxes, and she used to put 2 shillings in the money box. It was the wee red pillar post box. And I can remember taking the kitchen knife, you know, the white-handled knives, and I was able to get the knife in nicely and slide the 2 shillings out. And I gave to my brother, and I gave to myself, and we took 4 shillings. So that's 20p for you who don't know the old money. 4 shillings every morning to Glassy's shop. And I'm telling you, I bought a lot of sweets. I bought a lot of sweets. But you know, one night, my mother lifted that money box down and she knew it was lighter. And I was found out. And you know, I was so disappointed because I knew I'd done wrong. But my mother, she never said, and I knew my mother forgave me. And you know, friends, it's an awful thing to be found out, isn't it? If you found out that you've done something and you know that you've been caught with it. I was brought up in the McCoskin area. As I say, I left school at 16. I got my first job. I worked at Hare Brothers in the roofs for 14 years. And in those days, even before that, I can remember as a boy going to Sunday school, going to church, going to afternoon Sunday school in the Orange Hall, going to the Gospel Hall at 6 o'clock, and going to Faith Mission meetings maybe at 8 o'clock. And that would have been our Sundays. And at all of those meetings, I could truly say I heard God's word. There was never a time that I didn't hear God's word. And yet I knew within me, if God was to come or if I was to die in my sin, I know I wouldn't have went to that place called heaven. But I carried on my life. I did that wee job till I was 16, and then I was in Her Brothers. And I attended many missions and many meetings. And in many of those meetings, I knew God was speaking to me. And you know, friends, maybe you have been in this meeting. Maybe you're in for the first time. And maybe you've heard God speaking to you. And you're saying, is God really speaking to me? And you know, the Bible calls it conviction. You know, when God starts to speak to us and we think, is God really speaking to me? And you know, here the other night, the message was preached in Genesis that God says that my spirit shall not always strive with man. And I knew that verse myself and I thought, what if God stopped speaking to me? So I worked there, as I say, for 14 years. And during that time, I enjoyed work. And then I met Annette, who's now my wife. And we got married almost 34 years ago. And a couple of years after that, Jonathan, our firstborn son, he was born in November 1981. And it was at that time that God really spoke to me. And it was just as if the voice of God said to me, Samuel, how can you train and bring up your children in the things of God if you're not saved yourself? I remember going home that night and getting down on my knees and praying the sinner's prayer. I knew I was a sinner. I knew I'd done wrong. And I asked God to forgive me for my sins and to cleanse me and to help me be a child of God for him. Now, I'm sure some of you will know, if you're saved here tonight, you know, the devil doesn't want you to testify and he doesn't want you to tell. Now, in those days when I worked in Her Brothers, I worked with some very ungodly fellas. Their language was atrocious. And I thought, Lord, how am I going to get in and testify of what you've done in my life? But there's a wee verse in Romans chapter 8. And it says this in verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I remember going in to the workshop that morning. I was tying the ladder on top of the minibus. And there was a gentleman worked there, Willie Moore. I don't know if you knew Willie Moore from Ballymoney. Willie was a safe man, a good Christian man, and his wife Madge were in the faith mission. And Willie was the first man I met, and I jumped down off the roof of the van. And I said, Willie, I have something to tell you. I says, I got saved last night. And this is what he said. He says, glory to God. He says, come on, do we tell the rest? You see, I was worried. How was I going to tell the rest? But God had it worked out. And it was great that God worked it out. And I lived my life for God from that day on, by his grace. And that was, you know, I can only think about the other night when our minister here was talking about, Roger was talking about the three important days. The day you were born, I can remember the day I was born. The day I was born again, I can remember that day. Friends, maybe you can't remember that day because you've never came to that day. And God's word always speaks of today. You know, if you, from cover to cover in the Bible, it will never speak of tomorrow. God's word always speaks of today. And actually, the verse that was quoted here the other night, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. It's mentioned in Psalm 95, and it's also mentioned in Hebrews, and it's only mentioned four times in Scripture. And God always speaks of today. None of us have any guarantee of tomorrow. And maybe God has been speaking to you today. So I, in my workplace, I made my stand for God. And I'm glad I did. And you know, many of those fellas respect it. Although, they says, I'm glad to hear it. Some of those fellas, that their language wouldn't have been too clean. And I had the privilege even of just giving gospel tracts and witnessing to them. And many a time the old devil used to come, is that all you're doing for me? But that's where God had placed me, and that was my Jerusalem, and that's where God wanted me to be. But something else happened in our home. Well, it's just not in our immediate home, but in our family. I worked 14 years in Her Brothers, and then I got a job in the Pearl Assurance office, and I worked there for 14 years. But I just started my job there in 4 weeks, and tragedy came to our home. My brother Robert was 39 years of age and he was tragically killed in an accident. And I can remember the day so well. I was in Port Stewart. I had to be out on the debit and I was paying a claim out to a lady in Station Road. And I seen our manager pulling up in the car and I thought, obviously he's out checking to see if we're doing our work. And I can remember going to the door of the car and William Gurney says to me, Samuel, he says, I have awful news for you. Your brother was tragically killed today. And I remember, actually, I can remember the words I said. I said, well, praise the God, the Lord, I know today where he is because Robert was saved. Friends, if that was you today, where would you be? I'm glad that he was saved. A few years later, my father was killed in a road accident. It was nearly a mirror image of just the accident. And again, my father was saved. Friends, I don't know how it is with you. I love the word saved. It's a great word. There's certainty in that word. And you know, God wrote in 1 John 5 and 13, he says, these things have I written unto you that ye may know ye have eternal life. We serve a God tonight who for certainty tells us in his word that we can know for sure. I know tonight for certain if anything happens where I'm going. Have you that assurance? I just want to share a couple of wee thoughts with you at this stage. I want to just share with you about God's power. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 6, the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. God's the only one tonight that can forgive you for your sins. Now, if you do something against another person here in this hall, and you go to them and you say, look, I'm sorry for doing that, I'm sure they will forgive you. Some will say, well, I'll maybe forgive you, but I'll not forget it. You've heard that before. But you know, when God forgives, he forgets. And he says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. If he had said north to south in his word, but he didn't. You know, north to south you could meet, but east to west you'll never meet. So that's, God means it. And he also says that I will cast them into the depths of the sea, never to be remembered no more. I don't know if you ever think in a meeting, just imagine tonight that your life was in a screen and everybody knew what your life was. Would you want to sit in the chair? Would you be embarrassed? But yet God even knows your very thought life. In Psalm 139, the Lord says, thou hast searched me and know me. He says, he knows our thought life. He knows the words in our tongue. He says as well about our travel, though I take the wings of the morning, dwell in the furthest parts of the earth, even there, thou art there. God's power, the Son of Man hath power to forgive sins, and that's true tonight. God can also bring pardon. In 1 John 1 and 9 he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Friends, have you been there? God is willing to forgive you. Not just for some of the past, but for all of the past. Never to be remembered no more. And then I did quote God's promise in 1 John 5 and 13. We can be certain that ye may know ye have eternal life. But you know, it wouldn't be mercy if we didn't look at another verse in 1 Peter 3 and 9 and 10. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Goes on in verse 10 says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Now I know for certain tonight, the day that my father was killed on the road, he was at my uncle's house with the paper and they were having a cup of tea together in the morning. And my father said to my uncle, he said, you know, Sam, the Lord will come like a thief in the night. It was mentioned from the pulpit here this week, you know, when a thief's coming to your house, he doesn't say, by the way, I'll be there on Thursday night when you're at the meeting. He doesn't announce his coming. That night, or that evening, it was a summer evening, the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Friends, if he was to come for you tonight, where would you be? Where would you spend eternity? I can't answer that, but you can answer that. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Maybe, friends, you're in this meeting tonight thinking, one day I'll get right with God. Some people think, well, I'll have a good life, I'll do what I want, and you have that choice to do. God gives us a free will. But the hymn writer says, one day he will be asking, what have you done with me? I'm glad that I have bowed willingly to accept Jesus Christ as my Saviour. Not through any good I have done. I'm nothing. But through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Verse 4 of that hymn that I quoted at the start, suffer a sinner whose heart overflows, loving his Saviour to tell what he knows, once more to tell it, would I embrace? I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. I thank God for the day and hour he saved me. Why would God send his beloved son for someone like me? Friend, he sent him for you as well. If you're in the meeting tonight, I don't know, I know some of you, I know a good few of you, I would urge you again today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Amen.
I sincerely thank our brother for his clear testimony. It's just been wonderful to hear again from somebody else what the Lord has done for them. And as you said so many times, it's no secret what God can do, what he's done for others, he can do for you. And it'll be personal to you, tailor-made for your life and your experience if you come to Jesus Christ. So thank you very much, brother, for giving us your testimony tonight and telling us how the Lord has met you.